Dumbarton by Ginger John. Chapter 9, Part 2. I stood there on the dock. The last day. The waves splashed against the tetrapods. The white foam dissolved into the water, clear ocean water. The dark, gloomy clouds in the sky made the sea look grayish. I watched as the ship sailed away from shore, its horn blaring in the distance. My eyes were fixed on my Earth parents, who were waving at me. I wanted to wave back, but my body was too stiff and my muscles ached. The last time I was standing here, I was happy. Nervous, but happy. Clueless to what was about to happen. But now, there was not only unhappiness, but also despair. It was even worse to know that what was going to happen next than to not, at least in this situation. They'll be back soon. The ringing thought approached my mind even though I knew they would never return. They're going to die. The truth was hurtful, yet it was practical. As the ship exploded into smithereens, the powerful force pushed me backward and I fell on my back. A sharp pain cut through my palm and blood went flying, but I wasn't focused on that. I watched as the splintered wood and the rest of the ship flew into the air and splashed into the ocean water, slowly sinking. So did the passengers. So did my parents. Although I was far away, I could see their dead faces clearly, their lifeless bodies sinking down into the vast Pacific Ocean forever. My head aching, I snapped awake. The soft whirring of the spaceship was all that I heard. My whole body was heating up like some sort of fever, but the metal floor cooled me down. It felt so good that I decided to just lie there for a while. It was a good way to kill some time and recover from the severe scare. After a while, I sat up from the ground and looked around, seeing Oliver, Carolina, and Monica still sprawling unconsciously around me. I crawled over to Monica and tapped her shoulder. "Monica," I called. She did not reply. "Wake up!" Nobody moved. Why was I the only one awake? I leaned close to Monica's nose to make sure she was breathing. She wasn't. I felt her pulse, then her heartbeat. Still nothing. I began to panic, running over to my brother and did the same. "No, this can't be happening," I told myself. My voice came out a hoarse whisper. "Why is this happening? This doesn't make any sense." Their faces were pale, unusually pale. They were dead. I dropped to my knees and buried my face in my hands. I could not control my breathing. The black hole was gone. I couldn't see it through the window, but so were my best friends and my brother, and I myself would be as well, since Oliver was the only one who knew how to operate the spaceship. I was going to die here, alone. Someone shook me on the shoulder. "Avery, are you okay?" My eyes slowly opened. I regained consciousness. I found myself lying on the floor, again. Thank goodness. That was just a dream. Carolina and Monica hugged me tightly around the neck. I hugged them back, glad to see them okay. "Oh, you're all right," Monica sighed. "I thought I was going to lose you forever." There was a ringing in my head and I couldn't shake it away. "What do you mean?" I asked. She chuckled. "I dreamt of that time when you fell off the roof when Mrs. Miriam made you climb up to the chimney to get that ball we threw up there. That time when you broke your arm and had a serious concussion. That sounds silly now, though. I see you're fine." I shook my head, thinking hard. "But that never happened." "You're right. It never happened," Oliver chimed in. Like I said before, the nightmare the black hole gives you isn't likely to be real. It must be something you fear of happening, but did not actually happen in the past. Monica scratched her head, but it felt so real. "I had a dream about how my parents got hit by a car and went to the hospital for several months," Carolina stated. "It was so serious that they sent me to a foster home. I cannot imagine how hard it must have been for you to lose your parents twice, Avery. What was your nightmare, by the way?" I crossed my legs and straightened up a bit. Well, first I dreamt of the day my Earth parents died on the ship, which exploded, and I was there to witness it all again. But it didn't make any sense because that's something that I actually experienced. Oliver frowned. So you had a second nightmare? I nodded. I was right here in the main hull of the spaceship. When I woke up from the first nightmare, I found you all next to me, dead. It was the most terrifying sight I've ever seen. My brother sank down in his office chair as if in deep thought. There's only one explanation that I can think of to explain this, he concluded. You're dreaming in your dream. I know it sounds absurd, but think of it this way. You thought that your parents dying on the ship was your darkest nightmare, but actually, your worst fear is us dying. All of a sudden, the grudges I was holding against Oliver, Carolina, and Monica in the minor argument we had earlier just disappeared. I realized that I did care about them a lot. We need to make a deal, I said. If we want to get through this together, then that means no more fighting. No more losing control of our rage and no more getting angry at each other for little things. We need to stick together. Carolina reached out her hand. Deal. Everyone put their hands in and we did a tiny and very informal toast to friendship and family. For the rest of the trip on the spaceship, it was nothing but joy and excitement. We talked about our plans for what to do during the visit on planet Dumbarton, and Oliver helped Monica and Carolina catch up on our abilities and more information about our home planet. He said our mission was to help our biological parents through whatever they're going through. They're in grave danger, he said. As for what kind of danger, we would find out soon. I can feel they're suffering from great tribulation because we're all connected. Then why don't I feel it? I asked inquisitively. Oliver gave me a rather pathetic glance. Because they don't love you. My own parents. They thought I was a brutal murderer. How could your own parents not love you? I asked myself over and over again. Deep down, I knew Oliver was right. He always had been. The day had come. After countless days in the same spaceship, I hardly felt alive. In fact, I felt pretty much dead in every way. Oliver was busy running down around the spaceship, pressing buttons and checking the detectors. We were almost going to land. Avery, I need you to get 2 sacks of parachutes from the supply closet, he instructed, speaking at a very fast pace. Carolina, go with my sister and grab 4 sets of safety goggles and the scream suits. Monica, you're in charge of gathering all of the things we need. We're landing in 2 minutes. I rushed into the supply closet and grabbed the large sacks, which were even bigger than sacks of potatoes, and went back to the main hall. What are these for? Why do we need parachutes in these suits? Oliver didn't look up. The suits are bulletproof, and so are the parachutes. These are Dumbarton-level technologies. He glanced at the largest screen. We need them when the spaceship explodes. Carolina almost dropped the goggles. Monica poked her head out from the master bedroom, an intimidated expression on her face. When the spaceship explodes? After all this time of working non-stop, the ship would not be able to endure the heat that is generated due to the friction of air when we go through the atmosphere of planet Dumbarton, causing it to light up and burn, just like how meteors do, he explained. When that happens, we'll be ready. These suits and parachutes are high technology, so don't worry, it won't light up and will protect our skins from the great mass of heat. Before any of us had a chance to react, there came a beeping sound from the monitor in the middle of the wall of buttons. Numbers appeared on the screen. It looked like a countdown. It showed 59 seconds and was dropping fast. Roughly 1 minute later, the spaceship would explode and we would be falling from the sky into another world. We quickly put on the suits and set the parachutes in place as Oliver instructed. The whole time my hands were shaking like crazy, so I was the last one to be done. The beeping became rapid, and so did my heartbeat. It was probably beating faster than the monitor was. 20 seconds. Monica held my hand in hers. I squeezed it tightly. 10 seconds. The ship started rumbling violently and I could barely stand still. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Last time I heard the sound, I thought I was going to die. This time was different. I knew I was going to die. There was no way some so-called Dumbarton-level suit could hold up the power of an explosion. It would be torn into pieces and the force would turn my flesh into spaghetti, my blood into tomato sauce to go with it, and shatter my bones as pepper and salt to season this horrific dish. And then again, there was a deafening boom.